Wendy, could you please read the FDC mission statement, please?
Sure. The FDC mission statement. The City of Fairbanks recognizes that our community is a diverse one with a wide variety of ethnic backgrounds, cultures, beliefs, and orientations, and recognizes this diversity as an asset and resource for our community. The establishment of the Fairbanks Diversity Council can provide the City Council and Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly with advice and recommendations to promote equal opportunity for all members of the public.
And Dorothy, could you please read the land acknowledgement?
Dene people on whose traditional lands we reside, we honor the Dene people who have been stewards of interior lands and waters for centuries. The elders who lived here before, Dene people of today, the future generations to come, we also recognize the Alaska Native people who traditionally gather here and harvest native foods.
Thank you very much for both of us. Danny, may we have a roll call?
Yes. And just a quick note, Roscoe, if you wish to unmute your phone, it's *6 is the code to do that. June Rogers.
Yes, I'm here.
Jake Merritt.
I'm here.
Mayor Pruse. Timothy Ledna. He's here.
Sorry, present.
Richard Basarab. Juanita Webb.
Here.
Marsha Oss. Dorothy Shockley.
Here.
Jonathan Bagwell. Wendy Tisland.
Here.
Karen Blackburn.
Here.
Roscoe Britton. I know you're here. And Rachel Kvapel.
We have a quorum. Thank you. If you guys could all stand and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible,
and justice for all.
Thank you very much. So we have the agenda attached that was mailed out to you by Danny. It's the December minutes. If you need to take a moment to look at it, otherwise if we could get a motion in a second to approve as presented.
I move.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Anybody? Okay, so let's step back a minute because I just did minutes before the agenda. So you have your agenda for the evening in front of you as well. And if we can, if there's any changes or additions that we need to add on.
I thought we were doing the agenda. Is that what you said?
Well, I did the minutes first.
Oh.
I went backwards. Okay. Or at least that's what I thought I said.
Did
I say agenda or minutes?
I thought either you said agenda.
That's what I thought, too.
Okay, so then we'll do that. Then let's do the approval of the previous minutes, because then I talked about December. It has been a long week. So if you want to take a minute to look over the minutes, and if we can get a first and second.
I looked over them. I'll move to adopt.
Thank you, Dorothy. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Wendy. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So next we will go to citizen comments. And Andy, and I apologize, Andy Harrington, if you would like to say your name, address, and go ahead. You'll have 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Andy Harrington, address 4624 Stanford Drive, Fairbanks,
99709. And I am here just to acquaint the council with an upcoming event scheduled for Saturday, June 1st. And it's called the Race Against Racism. It is an event that has been, that started back in 1999 and has been held most years between then and now. We took a couple years off for the pandemic and some other reasons, but it is basically a family event. It's a 5 kilometer or 10 kilometer run or walk with the race rooted so that it goes past landmarks in Fairbanks that are named after people from diverse backgrounds who have contributed to the quality of life here in the interior. For example, it starts and ends at the J.P. Jones Center, goes past the Aldridge Ball Fields, the Chief Andrew Isaac Health Center, the Bertha Moses Hostel, by the George Birdsong Gardens, then Kopi Museum, the Chief Peter John Tribal Hall, Chief David Salmon Tribal Hall, Morris Thompson Center, and so on and so forth. So the route is entirely within the city of Fairbanks, and we try to keep the registration fee as low as we can. If the race does make any money, which it has most years, those funds have been going to the NAACP Scholarship Fund. There are two things that I wanted to bring up. One is that we just would like as much assistance as individual members of the council can provide in publicizing the event. It's usually scheduled for early June. It's kind of a ramp-up event for the larger Juneteenth celebration, which occurs on around June 19th. And we have gotten as many as maybe 70, 75 runners to participate, runners, walkers. It's not a very competitive race. And the second thing is, if and when the council has a chance to consider this, we would welcome if the Diversity Council wanted to be a co-sponsor. We're not looking for any financial support. The race usually comes pretty close to breaking even, and we have people who are willing to put the money up to get it started. We do need to get a permit every year from the engineering department of the city of Fairbanks, and it's possible the co-sponsorship by the council might facilitate that process. And like I said, it's a family-friendly event. And I'm happy to answer any questions if council members have any, and thank you again for your time.
Does anybody online have any questions?
This is Jim. I have a question. Andy, first of all, it's really good to hear your voice again. We served on committees way back in the 90s, like you said, over at the health center on Barnett. Glad to see that you're still involved with such things. But regarding this particular event, are you on the committee for the Juneteenth?
I am. My wife and I are both on the committee to try to help plan Juneteenth. So we do try to coordinate with the Juneteenth event. We don't schedule it, the race, for Juneteenth because there's so much other stuff going on that
day.
That's
right, yeah. Could we perhaps then, as the Diversity Council, have a booth at Juneteenth, and could you let us know how much that costs, or if there's no fee, I don't know.
I certainly can. I'm going to need to double check my information because when I try to answer questions off the top of my head, I usually get them wrong. I know that they do have booths that will be available. In past years, I think nonprofits have been able to get a booth for free, and for-profit businesses have charged. I will get that information and make sure that I email it to. Is there a support staff person that I should email stuff to make sure it gets to all the council members?
Probably to the city clerk.
Okay.
Yes, send that to dsnyder@fairbanks.us.
D-S-N-Y-D-E-R.
That's D-S-N-I-D-E-R.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Roscoe, are you interested in helping with a booth the way we did at the previous event over at Pioneer Park?
What's the dates on that again? Or the date?
Juneteenth is mid-June.
But the race is before then, isn't it?
Yeah, but the booth is what I'm talking about. Remember how you helped set up and whatnot. Are you willing to help in that way again?
I am. I do know I need to look at my schedule for the weekend because I may or may not be in town. If I'm in town, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, as soon as we get the date for that, we can put that out and see who's available. Anyone else online want to make any comments?
I would like to make a motion that we co-sponsor this race.
Thank you, Timothy.
Have a second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, I don't know why I'm turning around. Okay, that sounds good. Timothy, thank you for bringing that up. And we can check and see with the permit if that's something we can help facilitate or not.
I have a couple questions.
Yes, please.
Yes, through the chair. Andy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did he say what time the race is and also how the distance?
Yes, through the chair.
There is a 5-kilometer loop that's south of Airport Way, and then there is an additional 5-kilometer loop for which we send people up and over the pedestrian bridge by Lathrop High School, and there's another 5K loop on the north side of Airport Way. So if super ambitious people feel like doing both loops, that works out to 10K, according to my lightning quick mathematical mind. And the race is scheduled to start at 11 p.m. Start and finish are at the J.P. Jones Center. And we handle advanced signups through Running Club North. And then if people want to sign up the day of, we tell them to try to show up at J.P. Jones at about 10. And we start the race as close to 11 as we can as we can manage.
Okay. So, Andy, if I may, you said 11 p.m. Did you mean a.m.?
No, I'm sorry. If I said p.m., that's my foot in my mouth again. Yes, it's supposed to be 11 a.m.
And then the fee?
We have yet to set that. I think it's probably going to be somewhere around $30. We try to look at what other races are charging. We usually have made a couple $100 for the NAACP scholarship fund. Last year was the first year in quite a while that we lost money on it, so we may need to move our registration fee up a little bit. But that's we try to keep it low, but we try not to lose money on it. So we have yet to set that precise fee.
Thank you. Wendy, do you have any questions?
Only that maybe if they were looking for volunteers, if they could help let us know again, remind us when it comes closer to the race. I think that's something might be fun to volunteer for. I don't know if I could do the 5K, but that's it. Thank you.
Hey. We'd be delighted. Thank you.
Andy, I'm so excited that you came months ago. I believe I met your wife at my job, and we had a big discussion about this event, and then somewhere in my paper filing, I lost the contact information, and so I'm truly excited that you came and let us know about this.
Well, I appreciate the time and the opportunity. Thank you. And my wife is the smart one. So if you were talking to her, you were probably getting better information.
Okay. So,
Andy,
please.
This is Roscoe. Is there a room or do you need anybody else for the race committee?
We certainly could. Our race committee is kind of an ad hoc group of people who have time to put in a little time on anything, publicity or helping prepare the course. Yes, we'd be delighted to have somebody else on our steering committee.
And so the information that you are going to be sending Danny, if you could include your email will be on there so that if anyone's interested, they can get a hold of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice. Well, thank you very much again, Andy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I hope the rest of the meeting goes well.
Thanks. Okay. So, I don't necessarily have a report. I know that Danny and I were talking a little bit before about, again, quorum. As per our minutes, the last time we had reportable quorum was in December, and we did have when we had the talking circle. We didn't have minutes that night, but so basically it's been since December otherwise. Unfinished business, we have none that I'm aware of. New business, we have Open Meetings Act presentation by the city attorney and city clerk. They have so graciously said that they would do that.
Yeah, we've just put together a quick but effective presentation. I know that Ms. Rogers is always one to bring up the Open Meetings Act presentation, and it's good. It's a good reminder for everyone. So we're going to go through that as our once annual presentation here to everyone. So thank you. I'm going to turn it over to the city attorney. And in case you've not had the great opportunity to meet our city attorney, his name is Tom Chard, and he is wonderful to work with and a great deal of expertise and a good sense of humor. So I'm going to share screen so that you can see our presentation, and then Tom will take it away.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good sense of humor raises the bar, so that's a difficult standard to meet, so bear with me, especially talking about the Open Meetings Act. Let's talk law. The Open Meetings Act is, I really was grateful for the invitation, Chair Webb, and from all the diversity council members. It's an important piece of legislation, I think, that a lot of boards and committees overlook it. And I think it's very easy to get into trouble by overlooking it. So I was thrilled that there was some interest and to hear that you annually review the Open Meetings Act. So basically, the purpose of the Open Meetings Act is just to ensure that we have transparent government. We don't want decisions and discussions behind closed doors. And that's not just for the citizenry and the public. It's really for your benefit, too. And I hope that as Madam Clerk and I get through this presentation, you'll start to really feel and see the benefit to you as a body in that. So we started with just basic who is covered by the Open Meetings Act, and it's a governmental body of a public entity. So breaking that down, the public entity is the City of Fairbanks. Governmental body would include the city council, but it would also include boards and councils. So we have here kind of a breakdown definition where we're talking about a public entity that includes the things that people think about first off, like the political subdivisions. So these are like the state, the borough, the city council, things like that. We also talk about boards, commissions, school boards, things that, again, you would want their decision-making, their deliberations to be transparent and open to the public. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, and City Clerk obviously is an expert on this, so I'm hoping that she's going to weigh in along the way. But I also invite any questions as they come up. Just getting back into who's covered by the OMA, again, two types of governmental bodies. And when you think about the governmental bodies, there's some slight different rules that apply to folks that are making decisions and folks that are advising a decision-making body. So here you see, number one, the bodies have the authority to establish policies and make decisions. So you think about like the city council. And then number two, bodies that have the authority to advise or make recommendations, such as yourselves, the diversity council. So the Open Meetings Act establishes a bunch of things. One of the things that it establishes, one of the requirements it establishes, is that there's public notice of the meeting so that the public has a fair shot at knowing when the meeting is, where it is, what's going to be discussed, and how to participate. This has been real interesting lately because with COVID and with other things, we've gone online. And so our participation has flexed a little bit to make sure that folks that couldn't participate in person can now have the opportunity to participate online. I think that was one of the potentially few silver linings from COVID, is that a lot of the governmental bodies have kept that. So, you know, if you're unable to make it in, you can still participate online. I think that's great. That's a step in the right direction.
So has there been a noticeable change in attendance with being able to do that?
There have been some, and I would defer to the clerk on this, but I think that there have been some folks that haven't participated, that it's easier for them to participate online. I am surprised a little bit, though, by the folks that you would expect might participate because they have been given a different avenue to participate, haven't. So, like, just as an example, when an issue comes up, you know, we'll see people calling at the city council level. We'll see people calling in to add public comment or citizen comment. And so the numbers are there, usually on a topic. But what I don't see as much, and it maybe a little bit surprises me, but are the folks that, you know, maybe are in the more difficult to reach places in our community that, you know, they can't easily get into a city council meeting, but they could participate online, but we haven't reached them with that information effectively to let them know that this is a way that they can engage with local government. So I think it's definitely a positive thing in my mind, but I also think that there's an opportunity to make it even more so.
Yeah, my experience, I would say that I've not seen a significant enough increase in public participation because of COVID to even comment really on it, unfortunately.
So I talked about the public notice. I talked about the kind of the what, where, why, when, place, time, way to engage, how that has increased with the participation online. The other, I guess, noteworthy point of this is that the legislation, so it used to be that we considered a meeting, like literally a face-to-face meeting, but now that concept of meeting has, that definition has changed a little bit. So we can have meetings on the phone. We can have meetings on Zoom. We can have meetings in different places and in different ways. And that has an implication for the Open Meetings Act that's really important that we're going to get to here in a little bit. But that what is a meeting piece is very important. So the Open Meetings Act defines a meeting in a very specific way. And it's when four or more members or a majority are present, that group considers a matter in a kind of a collective way, and that body has the authority to decide the matter. So those three pieces of the definition are important, because when I get to later the, you know, if you're all over at Bobby's and you run over to each other's table, is that a meeting? We'll come back to this definition. For an advisory group such as the Diversity Council, four or more members or majority are present, meeting is prearranged for the purpose of considering a matter. So that's different than the deciding body. And the matter is something the body is empowered to act upon. This comes up a lot with the Clay Street Cemetery. So imagine that they all get together for a meeting, but then they go out to the cemetery to do work. Maybe there are more than four individuals there. They're kind of there at the same time. Are they going to discuss a matter? I mean, you can see where the definition of meeting and the public notice and triggers can sometimes, you know, give you a little bit of pause, and you have to ask, like, okay, wait, what's going on here? Was it prearranged? What are we doing? Let's say that you do have a meeting, and the Open Meetings Act requires notice for that meeting. It goes a step further, and it says that the notice has to be reasonable in, you know, it's how far in advance you provide the notice. And it's got to reasonably explain, like, what you're going to be doing at the meeting, and how citizens can engage and participate. Your notices should be consistent, so you shouldn't, let's say I've got an issue that's a hot button issue and I know it's going to be divisive in the community. I shouldn't say, oh, well, let's put that notice out a day before instead of our normal 4-day period, because somebody could raise that as a violation of the Open Meetings Act. And then there are similarly, I'm not going to read this, but the contents of the notice and where you post the notice are also important important requirements for the Open Meetings Act. Danny, what if I just have, okay, so I know that four or more members constitutes a meeting. So I'm on the Diversity Council and I want to kind of skirt that rule a little bit. And so instead of having one meeting where I have five people participate, instead, I'm going to call Chair Webb and we're going to talk. And then after I get done, I'm going to call Member Shockley and we're going to talk. And then after I'm done with that conversation, I'm going to call Member Tislin and we're going to talk. And then I'm going to keep moving my way down that list until I get five or six people. Is that a meeting?
Bingo. Yeah, that would. I think that while that scenario might not be spelled out perfectly in the Open Meetings Act, I think there's case law that would support that being ruled by the courts as a violation of the Open Meetings Act. And so we next up on our slides here are serial meetings, and that's kind of what Tom was getting at. Even to make that a little bit more complicated and complex is, now that social media is such a big player in our daily lives and in our communications with our friends, family, coworkers, anybody else in the community, it adds a whole other piece to it. And frankly, the state legislature hasn't kept up in addressing these types of issues in the law. And it's still a little bit early for a whole bunch of case law to be out there on this issue. So when we advise, or I should say when Tom advises on this piece of it, it's a little bit of a guess at this point because there's not a lot of experience to back up what we're saying. But most of this, if you understand the basis and the intent of the Open Meetings Act, most of this is common sense and would just follow. So,
and when the clerk says that there's not a lot of case law, that's not an invitation for us to do stuff to invite that case law, so we can let that lie. You know, the other one that I see a lot that is inadvertent but can very quickly become a violation of an Open Meetings Act is folks hitting reply all to an email and then everybody chiming in on that email. And all of a sudden, uh-oh, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people all weighing in on something, and that becomes a meeting. They're discussing a topic. They've got the authority to discuss the topic, and there's the number of people there. But there's no notice. Public can't participate. It's kind of a discussion that's behind closed doors. So that's exactly kind of the kind of thing that the Open Meetings Act warns against. And so it's important as members of a body to just be vigilant of that, to be informed, and to, if you see it, to just like stop the conversation and say, you know, of course, politely, I'm not usually, I hope, unless Councilmember Rogers wants to tell me otherwise. I don't think I'm too heavy-handed when I say, hey, we might talk about that at our next publicly noticed work session or publicly noticed meeting, or, hey, did you notice something completely off-topic that has nothing to do with the meeting or with our authority, like the weather? and usually, folks, if you have a group of people that get together inadvertently and they start discussing things that you think, this is a meeting. This is starting to border on an Open Meetings Act thing. You can just, it's very easy to either reduce the number of people by having people scatter or change the topic so you're not talking about a work kind of thing. You're not talking about a board thing. You can talk about, you know, the kids' soccer game this past weekend or things like that. Just try to stay away from stuff that's meeting specific. And this gets us to that social gatherings. You know, I mentioned if you guys are all sharing a nice chunk of baklava down at Bobby's, or, you know, maybe you're headed over to the library because it's been a long week on a Tuesday already. Social gatherings, they're fine. You can get together. Groups of people can get together. Just stay away from topics that would be considered violations of the Open Meetings Act. One of the challenges that we have, I think, a lot with the Open Meetings Act and really just more broadly is the public perception of what's going on. So let's say that there's a bunch of diversity council folks and they're going to Andy's Run. They're going to the Race Against Racism. Great event. So a bunch of people go. And if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you've hit now you're busted through the numbers. And so now, you know, as diversity council members after this presentation, oh, we can't talk about business. We can talk about the sunshine. We can talk about the geese. We can talk about anything we want, not business related. But I am standing on the side and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 diversity council members over there huddled together. And I think to myself, I bet they're talking about that resolution or that ordinance that just passed, or I bet they're talking about such and such a law. It's that public perception of what's happening that can be tricky and can get folks into trouble. It's not a violation of the Open Meetings Act, because if it ever came to light, you would just say, no, we were talking about whatever you were talking about. But you get into trouble if people think that there's some backdoor discussions or closed door discussions. What I usually tell folks is if you happen to find yourself at a social gathering, fine, not a problem. Be aware of the public perception of what's going on. Of course, don't discuss things that would be a violation of the Open Meetings Act. The clerk just touched on social media, and this is a real interesting new twist to the Open Meetings Act, because as we briefly mentioned, you know, all it takes is a Facebook post and three members commenting on it before you can find yourself in violation of the Open Meetings Act. And a lot of times if it were to go to court, a lot of times what will happen is if there is a decision, it sometimes undermines and unwinds that decision. So let's say that on Facebook, Chair Webb, you see an article that's out there about something that happened out in Pittsburgh, and you post it on your personal, I'm assuming you have Facebook, I don't know, your personal Facebook wall, and you're like, hey, look what they're doing out in Pittsburgh. I think this is really cool. And Member Shockley, you, of course, follow, why would you not follow Anita Webb on your Facebook? So you like that comment and you click on the link and you're like, oh, wow, that is a really cool idea that they did out in Pittsburgh. And then, you know, maybe a little bit later in the night, I don't know, you're posting on it and you say, no, I don't like that idea, but I do like this thing that they did out in Pittsburgh. Roscoe chimes in and says, I absolutely love that idea. Now you've got your number of members, you've got, they're all talking about the same topic. Now let's say that later you guys decide that you're going to institute whatever they did in Pittsburgh here in the Golden Heart City. And I don't like that idea at all. I am very opposed to that idea. And I go back to this Facebook thing that's, of course, out there for everybody and their brother to see. And I say, 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, they're talking about something that they have some, you know, this is an Open Meetings Act violation. I bring you to court. And, of course, your city attorney is going to help defend against that. And in court, they say, well, it was an Open Meetings Act violation. There were the number of people, the topic was discussed, there wasn't a public notice about it, so we're going to undo that decision that you made to implement whatever was happening out in Pittsburgh here in Fairbanks. We're going to reverse all the work that you just did and unwind all that work and make you do a redo on all of that. And when you do the redo, you got to do the public notice, you got to get everybody on board. And so it could have been months, maybe even a year or two of work on your part. Maybe there's grant funds and this and that. I mean, it can get really a little bit ridiculous in my mind. They try to be reasonable, but they can unwind back to the violation and make you redo it. So in addition to other things, you don't want to do that.
I'll just add to this little piece while we're talking about, Tom gave an example there. The Fairbanks Diversity Council some years ago had a member who accidentally violated the Open Meetings Act via email. It didn't go to the court level, but the remedy for that was just to disclose that email in the public setting. So we included it in an agenda packet. I think she even read into the record the contents of that email and basically fessed up. It was an honest mistake. There was no harm done. And it was easily remedied. So that's, I mean, while we talk about the Open Meetings Act and the serious consequences that can result from a violation of it, it's nothing to be terrified of. And the intent of it really is to promote better government. And we need to remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if the city council, if a board or commission did find itself in a situation where there was a mistake, there was a reply all, or there was a Facebook post, or there was, you know, y'all got together at, see, now I got to pick a different restaurant. Let's see here, out at the Turtle Club. If you guys get together and somebody after the fact realized, oh, shoot, maybe that was an Open Meetings Act violation, or maybe it was, could have even been perceived to be an Open Meetings Act violation, come talk to us, because 9 times out of 10, we can, you know, read it into the record, share something publicly, redo a decision if a decision was made, and get to it early. And I think that's very helpful. I think we've
got. Jared, may I add a comment here?
Absolutely.
You know, there's all sorts of things referred to many times when we go through this about people observing, but we carry it even that, you know, quite a bit further with the city council. If one of the council members calls me, or sometimes if I call them, we regularly ask the person that we're connecting with, am I your first or your second contact? Because you may have no more than that. And so we're very, very vigilant of it. And Danny was right at the beginning of this. I see it as one of the problems that has been encountered along the way for years and years in a lot of decision making, that we can easily avoid those kinds of problems by making a point to follow the directions exactly the way they are. They're pretty easy to enforce yourself in your own conversations. Or I can remember an event that was over at the J.P. Jones Center, and all the city council people were at opposite ends of the room on all four walls, type of a thing. We weren't sitting next to each other or anything like that. So it's just being vigilant and remembering to observe those regulations.
I can't imagine. I think in Alaska, we have a particular challenge because folks wear multiple hats and find themselves in multiple areas with a lot of the other people that wear multiple hats. And so you imagine somebody like Councilmember Rogers, who, you know, she's got hats from her head 5 feet tall. She's involved in every organization and every cause. I think in Fairbanks, your role model, certainly, to be vigilant and to remember, you know, oh, I can't have that conversation again with another member because I've already hit my limit, or they've already hit their limit. The other suggestions, yeah, avoid adding or following Facebook members on social media. If you do, just refrain from commenting on the posts. We talked about that. We didn't get into this as much, but the second bullet on this, I think, is an important one. You don't lose your right to free speech just because you serve on the Diversity Council, of course. But you have to be mindful of how you as a member are behaving, because again, it's all about public transparency, and you wouldn't want that of another government body, of them, you know, making decisions and having conversations out of public view. And I tell the council this, and I've told other boards and commissions and groups this as well. Sometimes the difficult conversations that you think that you would want to have behind closed doors, it really helps to have out in the open, because you're having these conversations that are tough out in the open. And a lot of times those things blossom into even bigger conversations. And if the public is brought along the way, they can better accept, better engage, better, you know, be part of that decision making and that discussion. If you go behind closed doors and have secret meetings and discussions and then come out and say, you know, it was a big problem, but here's the solution. Nobody was along for that ride. And so you'll get more blowback. I've seen that actually happen more, that folks get more blowback at the end of that than if they had brought people through that whole conversation. We threw some resources on this last slide for you. So this is the actual statute 4462.310 to the Open Meetings Act. That link will take you right to the exact legislation language there. There's some really great resources from the state, from the Department of Commerce, that are linked here. And of course, your clerk and me as the attorney for the city, both, you know, anytime you have a question, call, email, happy to discuss things. And if there's something that happened in particular or a question that you have, we're always a resource for you as well.
Does anybody have any questions, comments, input?
I dazzled them all with the Open Meetings Act. I told you, it was high bar.
Well, I'm glad to see that we're having this. As Danny said, I always pester every year to make sure that we have this orientation, because it's vastly important to everything that we do. And it just helps to have better understanding with our community when they're aware of how closely we follow such rules.
And Roscoe, I know that you need to leave in a few minutes. Did you have anything that you wanted to add?
No, actually, that was pretty informative, and I got to learn some stuff that I didn't know, so I appreciate the presentation.
Thanks. Karen and Timothy and Jake, do you guys have anything?
No comment from Karen. Yeah,
so I don't have anything.
Nothing from Jay. Okay, Wendy, did you have any? Ruthie?
Yes. I have a question in regards to additional guidance and state laws needed so members of government bodies do not adversely violate the OMA. So do you know if any lawmaker has introduced additional laws, or are you working with anybody?
Not this session. I haven't seen any legislation. You know, Councilmember Rogers does a really great job of tracking some of our legislation and working with mm-hmm. Some of our advocacy that affect state. I haven't seen anything out of state legislature. I do know that in the past I've talked with different legislators that recognize that our Public Records Act, our Open Meetings Act, some of these things need to be updated a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think the last major update that they did allowed for telephonic meetings, so that mm-hmm. tells you kind of where we're at. But Councilmember Rogers, have you heard any conversation about updating the OMA?
No, I haven't. I've got a couple of people in mind that I think should probably introduce this. And you're right, I do keep a pretty close eye on it. And even though I'm feeling pretty lousy this week, I still have KUAC's Channel 9 on and listen to each and everything that they're speaking about.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you guys for putting in on that. And thank you guys for the presentation. It's appreciated. I know that we try to do it yearly, but you can kind of forget. Just, you get more comfortable. Maybe that's the best way to say it. Get more comfortable. So we did have a speaker scheduled for the Human Library. Unfortunately, they had a family emergency, so they're not going to be able to call in. I'll see if I can reschedule them for next month. And now, unless there's something else, or no, we can't because we already approved the agenda. FTC member comments. Dorothy, did you have any comments?
Not really. Well, I do have one, I guess. I ran into Shirley Lee, yes, yesterday, and mentioned that I was co-chair. And I'm going to follow up with her. She said she has some issues that she may want to address, so I would like to invite her as well. She was one of the founding members of the Diversity Council.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. Wendy, did you have any? Roscoe, did you have any comments before... Oh, I think we just lost him.
I was just getting ready to hit the phone button, but I have no comments at this time. I'm thinking, just from some emails that I've gotten over the last few days, to maybe take a look at reaching out to some of the other diversity committees that are in Fairbanks and see if they would like to attend. And speak about what it is that they do and maybe try to figure out how we can join forces. Might be a good idea.
I'm just making a note.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nothing else, and I got to go. I'm sorry.
No, thank you, Roscoe. Karen, did you have any further comments?
No further comments from me.
Thank you, Timothy. Any comments?
First dance.
No, nothing from me.
Okay, sorry, it was echoed. June, did you have anything?
No, I just appreciate all of you being there tonight and getting a quorum. Thank you.
I hope you feel better.
I'm trying.
Jake, any comments?
Is Jake a new member?
No, I don't.
Okay. And then did you have any other further comments? No.
Okay, so our next meeting date is May 14th of 2024. And other than that, we will call adjournment for 6:31 on this day. Thank you guys very much for participating and good conversation. And thank you guys for presenting. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.